Nonetheless, men and women do have the same muscle groups.
Yes, women body builders are very active.
Levitating like some kind of divinity above the formation.
They have no menstrual cycles until their activity changes.
Especially later, the greater percentage of that returned golf.
Yes, that had been the subject of chromosome tests and other insulting challenges to her genetic identity as a woman.
And she had passed them all with flying colors. Neglected even by
no, most women who are into weight training don't develop masculine muscle.
There was no help for that matter.
Most men who come in and don't look like male bodybuilders.
Only a handful of people are likely to have the determination, patience,
what athletic skills,
and genetic makeup to achieve that bodybuilder look.
When George and I arrived, there was no attempt to unfreeze the pattern.
Steve was going through a slow, arduous
ritual of canonized and
wearing a call.
Now that's the only case to ever land style of those movies.
There are far more androgynous,
irregular, and vicious,
seductive over
action. How I got on the hill line stretching the way of sex.
But it was best to get in
the time, and certainly could not have been watched.
When he spoke in the
each of Duff's repetition, there was full of astral
and seeing all the perfect and exactly like the wonderful man or man.
Apparently, neither Freud nor his disciples could understand what it meant when theory and practice of psychoanalysis, and not even the master that should deal with his neurosis and neurosis is meant to hold it.
And it's true, he never asked for or accepted help with any of his array of big-time problems, to name just a few, and needs for women's worship, extreme hostility toward his father and father figures in general, a suspicion that any men around him with minds of their own were out to destroy him, and a belief that masturbation and birth control caused neurosis, but cocaine was not. He went on projecting a fiery outline of his own experience onto the lives of his patients, thus believing that he was screaming for his secret rather than for his own. As they say, anatomy is destiny. Should have been with biography as topics. Better is Freud thought that his biography was everybody's destiny. So, don't be surprised by the subtitle of Philip's great biography, or by a certain detective-like quality to my footnotes. More information has become available in the past few years as primary sources about Sigmund have been uncovered. Thanks to therapy movements that let us listen to others' real experiences instead of the theories, we have a greater understanding now of what certain kinds of early moments look like in later life. Disproving Freud's beliefs has continued as the women's movement has taught women and men one of its most valuable lessons, how personal truths and challenge general theories. To understand that Freud isn't one of the gods who's dead, however, you have only to pick up a psychology text, or turn on a television show with talk about phallic symbols, or read that women in pornography or violent marriages want to be like Freud's theory of female masculine perspective, or notice that even parents who didn't say hello to Freud still behave as if the individual damage they repair is different from what is damaging inside. So, to see how it feels to be on the wrong end of the Freudian myth, as well as to exercise its power with laughter once and for all, I propose that everyone in the psychology trade, male or female, part male and female in general, maybe all of us in this Freudianized culture, imagine a profession and society influenced by the work, even the worship, of the greatest, most written about, mythic, and fiercely defended thinker in Western civilization, Dr. I can vouch for the fact that everything in Phyllis's life and work springs from something that's the only words relating to gender have been changed. I'll comment on this biography whenever I fear the reader might think Phyllis has gone off the deep end, or when some piece of information seems to cry out for inclusion, or when I just can't resist it. My only regret is that Phyllis is safety will never come to me. What if Freud were Phyllis? Your... It's important to understand that when Phyllis was
Tolstoy began his career. Austrian suffragists, socialists, and reformers were working on the way for women's political rights and organizing as well as counterparts of the communists, and there was an active movement for women's suffragists. Emma Goldman, the anarchist and feminist, was almost Tolstoy's exact contemporary. When she went to talk with him about this new invention called psychoanalysis, she found it, quote, nothing but the old confession. Of course, Sigmund later dismissed Emma Goldman as, quote, repressed, unquote, which, given their relative sexual experiences, was like a deaf man criticizing Mozart. But I'm getting carried away. Let's go back to Tolstoy's book. Women's superior position in society was so easily mistaken for an immutable fact of life that ladies had developed exaggerated versions of such inevitable conditions as union. Indeed, these beliefs in women's sexual empowerment were the very pillars of Western patriarchal civilization. Impossible to repeat without endangering the whole edifice. At the drop of a hat, wise women would explain that while men might dabble in the arts, they could never become truly great painters, sculptors, musicians, poets, or anything else that demanded a personality, for they lacked the very source of religion. Similarly, men had often odd, frustrated breasts which created no sustenance. They might become an attack of famous people, but they certainly could never become great chefs, dignitaries,